it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom, yes, freedom, cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real?
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 4:02 in the Pacific Time Zone. I got Jenny Ray sitting to my left. How you doing?
Well, this show so far has been, like, mind-blowing.
I know. It's been a lot of fun.
It's great fun. That is some information for everybody to just kind of take in, absorb, gather your thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you missed any of it, the replay comes up at the top of 6 o'clock hour here, Pacific Time. And, of course, you can always catch us on the iTunes and the Stitcher as podcast, because we got a podcast here for the show. Jenny Ray McGee has joined us in the studio. She is the subject of my radical rant for hightimes.com today.
Yes.
We wrote up a little bit of your story.
It is. It's a great piece that really represents how I got to this platform.
It's the short version.
Just the short version where I got to this platform and you spread great messages, and I'm just kind of here to help as much as I can.
That's so awesome. We are working this out. Jenny's going to be joining us here on the show quite a bit. We're going to do special segments.
Totally.
We'll have interviews. We'll have all sorts
of
cool
stuff. My mom. That'll be crazy.
That'll be a good show. So, and if you want to follow Jenny Ray on Twitter, at JennyRay429, 429.
Or you can go to my blog, Living One Step at a Time.
LivingOneStepAtATime.com.
Yeah.
And you're in the chat room. Or you were
in
the chat room.
No, I am still in the chat room. I have multiple windows up. I was trying to...
Multitasking.
I was trying to multitask, and then those stories just sucked me in so much. I found myself moved to emotion and pissed off.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. We'll talk about that coming up in the next segment. But before I forget, let's remember that Big Daddy Fink and the Funky Roller Rink is on tonight after Herb Thrash of Flower Hour. Herb's coming in at 8 p.m. tonight. We're going to have some live metal marijuana mayhem for you, 2 hours from 8 to 10. And then at 10 o'clock, Big Daddy takes it over from Atlanta, Georgia, spinning the stacks and stacks of melted wax, the funk tracks that you all love in the Funky Roller Rink. It will be an all skate in the groovy direction. Sample My Funk is tonight's episode. So, oh, I love these. Okay, so the Sample My Funk episodes, he takes like current or recent like hip hop tunes that sample funk tunes and then plays the funk tune that goes with it. So you get to hear where it comes from.
Oh, that's
cool.
Brilliant.
It's very, very
cool.
You know
what I mean? I find myself when I hear songs.
It's very cool. So we got that. But anyway, so earlier on the show, half past, we had Mario Garcia from the Dateline show.
Yeah.
And it was that clip of those moms, wasn't it, that got to you?
It's just, it's not only the mothers, but like as a patient, it's being able to put yourself in that moment.
Sure.
And when they say, you know, they were on 7 pharmaceutical drugs, it's stop and take a moment to think, what are all those drugs doing? You know what I mean? And they're not working.
Yeah.
So 7 days, going from having 300 to 7 days of not having, that must have felt like Christmas, Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Like that must
all
have been
up into one.
The best week. And I bet her mother was able to sleep. And, oh, you know what I mean? And those little things. And to put something in a tube and then somebody says, well, you can't have that because these these people don't deserve it.
Yeah.
You are out of your mind, Matt Baker.
I believe you can kiss 100% of her ass.
100% of my ass. Matthew Baker. Speaking of Matthew Baker,
you reminded me to check out the numbers. Totally. I found the numbers. They were on the page. I just wasn't looking in the right place. Yeah. So for 2012, this Matthew Baker in Pennsylvania, who's, you know, thwarting the will of 85% of Pennsylvanians.
Yes.
He got $83,000 he raised in campaign donations. 83 grand. Now, yes. Out of that, top donors, $5,000 from AstraZeneca, you know, pharmaceutical company, $2,500 from the Pennsylvania Society of Anesthesiologists, okay, $2,500 from the Fox Chase Cancer Center, $2,000 from PPL Corp, I don't know what that is, and another $2,000 from the Pennsylvania Orthopedic Society. So at least $12,000 out of $83,000 that is from the people that would not benefit from medical marijuana being popularized?
And can we go back to that quote where he was like, I have never spoken, you know what I mean? Like, to any pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. And it's like,
He said it's a desperate accusation. Say and do anything.
Right, but factual information is not a desperate accusation. It's factual information.
That's right.
So because that's required to be public record, and people can go look at that public record, then it's not, in fact, he is so far... Are you sure he doesn't, like, do some other type of drug to be so far off that actually harms his, like, brain cells?
Alcohol, perhaps.
Maybe. You know, this is a medicine that you are taking away from children, and you can sit there... And he's not handsome, by the way. He's, like, this old guy. And you're going to sit there with a straight face and be like, no, please get out of here.
His previous year, $4,000 from Medco Health Solutions... $2,500 from Abbott Laboratories, another major pharmaceutical company. And so one of these guys. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more with Jenny Ray McGee in the studio. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show's Toker Talk Radio on 420radio.org.
Happy Friday.
It is Friday.
It is. I love Friday. I want to say this so much.
Don't touch that dial. We're right back to Radical Russ in just a few minutes. Hey, does anybody really have a dial anymore? Huh? You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
All right, in other news, reminding you, tomorrow is the big Portland Rose Festival Parade, and late notice, we're actually going to be marching in it.
And I can't wait. I bet we're going to have the best view. You
know Portland know Normal will be...
Our t-shirts.
That's right. Come Portland Normal us. At the...
Rose Parade.
At the Rose Parade. And I got to find one more person to join us. I'll see if I can get Bacon Dan to join us. That'll be fun. All right. We're going to take a break. Like I said, when we come back, more with Jenny Ray and the news of the day on 420 Radio. Turning red states and blue states green.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
My goodness. Hey, this is Big Daddy. I want you guys to join me at the Funky Roller Ring right here on 420 Radio. Let me stop here at this gas station. It's like the groove in Soul Town smashed together with a greasy pork sandwich on the side, baby.
Two hot dogs and a strawberry soda.
Funky Roller Ring.
Yeah.
Come join the fun at the CannaCon Expo, the nation's largest cannabis marketplace for products, services, and ideas. CannaCon is where the cannabis industry does business. CannaCon is coming to the Colorado Convention Center in downtown Denver, kicking off Thursday, June 11th through Saturday, June 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org. That's CannaCon, CannaCon.org. If you're looking for the best deals on growing gear and the most innovative products in the market, don't miss CannaCon. CannaCon will provide you with the opportunity to meet and do business directly and most affordably with the grow gurus and suppliers. CannaCon seminars are designed to be informal, open, and an educational conference where growers, processors, retailers, suppliers, and consultants can frankly discuss issues that impact this thriving industry. Don't miss CannaCon coming to the Colorado Convention Center June 11th through Saturday the 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org.
Everybody, it's a beautiful Friday here in Portland, Oregon. I'm hanging out with Jenny Ray McGee, Jenny Ray 429 on the Twitter machine.
Yes, that's right. And if you guys have any opinions, because we cannot be the only people that think Matt is a dick. So there has to be other people that agree with us. So that being said, you can always call in 844-420-RADIO, which is 844-207-2346. Yes, I just wanted to do that over and over again.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Everything.
You dick.
He just sits around and is like miserable at night. And it's just like...
Maybe so, man. But it's... Looking at the guy and listening to him on, because we got the video here. We could actually look at this guy and you know, stick up your ass, guy.
Yeah, totally.
Isn't it interesting how the people who are most against marijuana are some of the people who would benefit the most from it?
Yes. And it also feels like the people that are the most uneducated towards the benefits of it. They're like, yeah, it can't be good. And I'm like, have you read a book? You know what I mean? Like, there's no information out there proving that it's good. Well, ask those kids how 7 days without a seizure feels. Ask me how it feels to pull my muscles out of atrophy. I'd be more than happy to tell you what that's like with or without cannabis. And if I could do that in the middle of the gym with my pipe, you know what I mean? I would. But it's assholes like you that prevent me from being able to do that in public. Yeah. And so, because you don't understand.
Yeah.
And so it's like, get out of the way, please. Or somebody up. Run against him.
Primary this guy. You know, why couldn't a Tea Party guy, because obviously he's in this hyper-Republican district. He's winning like 82 to 18. Totally. He's in a hyper-Republican distance. But I don't see why a Tea Party type wouldn't run against him and co-opt the medical issue and make this guy look like a total out-of-touch, discompassionate person.
Well, he's living back in, I don't even know, like way back there, you know what I mean, in the Stone Ages, like
at least pre-1996.
And he's under this. I think there's this blanket of ignorance, mm-hmm, that people crawl under and just take things at face value for what they are. Mm-hmm. And somebody told me one time that it's gonna make you, you know what I mean, lead, mm-hmm, to heroin, and it's not true. And so he wants to stand there and stand in the way of people that can not only be helped on a medical standpoint, but economically, like bring our world to a higher level of, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, and then hemp. It's hemp week. Don't even get to, you taught me so much about hemp during that segment, because the first time I had actually researched, I mean, I did hemp macrame necklaces when I was younger,
but
you know what I mean? The first time I would really like was when I went to that Normal, and that guy with the, it looks like it's going to be heavy. Like it looks like
it's going to be. Yeah, the hempcrete block.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a cinder block. And then you pick it up and it's this like dense material that is so good.
It does shed a little.
That's okay. You know, we'll take a little bit of shedding for that, you know, air and stuff.
For natural and reducing carbon dioxide and all that good stuff. Yeah. And this, you know, it's just from a political standpoint to me, it's this. Well, the FDA says it's not a medicine. Therefore, we must blindly follow what the feds say. And it's just, these are, and coming from guys that are hyper-Republican, who on every other issue, if it's immigration or abortion or healthcare, are so states' rights, don't, we can't trust the federal government. Oh, the feds, they're setting up a Jade Helm 89 down there in the desert. They're going to take over, oh, the feds. Mm. But when it comes to pot, oh, well, we must believe the feds.
We must believe, and it's because they don't want to open their eyes, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. what happens if one day it becomes your mother that needs it? So your mom gets cancer, and not the chemo's not working anymore, and she's in pain, and your whole entire life you've been, pot's bad, and then the person that birthed you and brought you into the world is sick and dying, and you'd do anything to take that pain away. Or if it's your child, you would break the law, and you would be willing to go to jail or prison to make that sure that person was healthy, right?
Absolutely.
So then, oh, but only then is it okay if it affects you. Well, it affects me now, and you're standing in the way and preventing people that affects now, but you don't care because you have your blinders on.
Yeah. And when people make those accusations about how much money you're getting from the pharmaceutical industry, it's laughable to think that there is no influence in that.
Yeah.
It's just laughable to think that when we know how much of big pharma contributes to things like Project Sam's or the whatever the group was that worked with them along that one weekend. We covered that before. But the big pharmaceutical industries are contributing to so many of these anti-drug campaigns. And really what it comes down to is that we don't have a war on drugs. We have a war between drugs. Mm-hmm. Right, we have a war between the corporate drugs that are made mm-hmm. and manufactured where they can control the means of production of them versus the natural plant and fungus-based drugs that they can't really control and patent. I mean, you can patent them, but you gotta stop anyone from growing them.
It's crazy because next week I'm going to bring in a clip from John Oliver where he talks about 80% of, you know, the population being on pharmaceutical medicine.
Yeah.
You know that a majority of people do not know the pills that they're swallowing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Every day. I take a thyroid, but it's not the thyroid that's synthesized at Walgreens. It's a beetroot.
Right.
You talked about that in the High Times article.
Yep.
It's a beetroot. And so people are taking poison and then getting more, like it's making them worse. And then they take additional poison that makes them worse.
Yeah.
And it's just a spinning cycle.
Yeah. I've been fortunate to be very, very healthy, but even so, I don't even take most over-the-counter stuff. Like when I get a cold, I don't run for cough syrup or sniffle stuff. Maybe nose spray so I can do my show to clear up my nasal passage. But even now, I haven't been using that so much as I've been using one of those. It's got like eucalyptus and it's just the inhaler that opens you up.
Like the menthol.
A little more natural, a little more menthol, right? I don't take aspirins or acetaminophens or ibuprofens like I know a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I use cannabis. I drink alcohol occasionally.
Only special occasions.
Yeah, yeah. Never 2 days in a row.
No, not at our age.
What do you mean our age?
Well, I mean...
Oh my goodness.
I feel like once you get out of college, you know what I mean? You don't really... You can't. It hits me
so
hard.
So now, your demographic groups are like 0 to 18, 18 to 25, and 26 and older.
Yes.
So we're in that demographic that's 26 and older.
Yeah. I mean, I know you mature every year and your brain expands or whatever.
That could be it, too. All right, folks. Hey, stay tuned because coming up at our 20 after break, we got our daily Toker Tunes for Rockin' Friday. That means Herb Thrasher will be calling in. He's got some music from John Garcia to play. And then I have to actually leave the studio after we talk to Herb. I have to head out and get to an appointment. But we've got some great cuts for you from the Aspen Legal Seminar. Abe Hutt. Yeah, I know. Jabba's brother? No, his name's Abe Hutt. But Abe Hutt is speaking on the ethics of setting fees. Now, I only got a partial on this one. I came in late to the performance, but I came in at just the right time.
Yeah.
Because he was just, I don't even know how he got to this metaphor, but he has this great parody commercial of a pharmaceutical ad that is worth listening to. And then at the end of the show, I've got a clip, 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes up on the rooftop of the convention center there in Aspen, where I got to hang out with all these lawyers and
lawyers
smoke
great.
Weed and look at a great Vista. It was wonderful.
Those mountains.
Also, we've got the Rose Parade, like I said, coming up on Saturday. Tomorrow, we're going to be marching in that, getting here at like 8 a.m. It's going to be early.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to bed early.
Yeah, got to go to bed early. And we've got plenty more of that coming up. Also, next week, don't forget, on Monday, we have got another episode of our brand new show, Totally Hilarious Comedy, where we've got, Hilarious Comedy, THC, where we've got some parody songs, novelty tunes, and stand-up comedy. All that coming up Monday on 420 Radio.
Illegal!
Only for another month here is it going to be illegal. July 1st, it becomes legal here in Oregon, and I'm telling you, June 30th at midnight, yeah. I'm going to be at 11:59, I'm going to be somewhere special.
Yeah.
We're going to get photos for you.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned. Herb Thrasher's coming up next.
Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for some Daily Toker Tunes, and I'm waiting for the call from Herb Thrasher, but I don't think he's calling in. We're not seeing anything on the old Skype line, so let's just get right to the tune. This is John Garcia with Rolling Stone. We'll be right back.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
Yeah, come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Whether it's a vape pen, a pipe, or a bong, you can find it right now on weedshop.com. We got dab rings, nails, and ship it fast. Whipping any of a competitor's glass. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You know, what are the medications that people take? So I'm doing this last night and I'm looking for, you know, what's a good slide. And so I, you know, Google images and, you know, pills, and I get this and I think, wow, pills for joy, peace, right? Calm and bliss. And I thought, well, I know what that drug is, right? I mean, I'm going to talk to these people. I know exactly what that drug is. The next piece I want to show you, because I just sort of got on this riff about drugs and you know how we use drugs and what drugs are good for, I want to show you. But I want to urge you to watch all the way through to the end, especially the women in the room, because it's not nearly as sexist as it looks like at the beginning, okay? But this is just, you know, I just couldn't resist.
Do you get depressed? Tired? Stressed. Millions of Americans go through life ill at ease, but you don't have to be one of them. Introducing blowjobs. Blowjobs are FDA approved to relieve stress, anxiety, and symptoms of depression. There are no regular pills. You just have one whenever you need it, and blowjobs work quickly to calm you down so you can get on with your day.
Is this not true?
I used to be upset all the time, and I didn't think there was any other way. Then my doctor prescribed blowjobs. It works great. I still have my occasional ups and downs, but, you know, keeps me from snapping.
I used to avoid parties, maybe miss all the important things in life. But now I get blowjobs before I leave the house, and anywhere I go, I'm calm and confident. Thanks, blowjobs.
Learn more about blowjobs. Blowjobs are not for everyone. Side effects include hepatitis B, herpes, gonorrhea, and syphilis. May cause drowsiness. Do not drive while getting blowjobs. If blowjob causes chafing or scarring, discontinue blowjob immediately. Ask your doctor about blowjobs today.
Right, so, you know, advertising, what medications people take. Now, I have not ever had anybody answer my question about what medications do you take by saying, I get blowjobs. I did, however, just this last year, in dealing with a client who was the wife of a guy. So the guy gets charged with, the two of them are riding home after a party. And they get into a fight, and they get out of the truck to have the fight on somebody's lawn, who calls the police. And before the police get there, they get back in the car and drive off. And three guesses what happens. He gets charged with
blowjob.
What's that?
He gets a blowjob.
He gets a blowjob. Yes, ultimately, because he gets charged with domestic violence, she gets charged with DUI, and they're both headed to court at the same time. A lawyer who's representing him on the domestic violence refers me the DUI. As between the two of them, he is the much, much more difficult to manage client, right? She's fine, we're gonna get her case dealt, and she is now having to help us, the two lawyers, get her husband to deal his DV case so that the whole thing can be wrapped up in a nice package, pretty package. And as we're sitting in the hallway at one point, after everybody having been in a room together working on the husband to get him to take the deal, as God is my witness, she looks up at me and says, oh yeah, I definitely see a blowjob in my future. So I'm thinking about this. The stuff that's in people's heads and in their hearts is what matters to us as their lawyers. It's what needs to matter to us as their lawyers. And if we can communicate that to them, then we are in a much, much better position to be saying to them, I am the one who ought to be doing your case. Right, I am the one to whom you should be paying this money, okay?
Or giving a blowjob.
The confidence, okay, is what clients are looking for, one way or the other, right? It often takes the form of, well, I want somebody who's going to win my case. Does that then translate into, I want you to tell me that you're gonna win my case? I tell you no, because they also understand that that's probably a lie. At some level, they probably understand that that's a lie. What you can do is, there's a whole lot of stuff that you can do to project that confidence. So I first wanna give you a picture of, oh, damn it, of what I think that looks like. Oh, man, it went away. All right, too bad. It'll take me too long to find it.
Right-click?
No. I don't even know how to do that, Jerry. No, I do know how to right-click, but that's not gonna find it. I'll have to go dig around and find the clip.
Check that sidebar on the left. You can scroll down it.
No, it's this problem is it's not in the PowerPoint. I had to. Oh, you want to read my email? All right, everyone, don't do that. I shouldn't do that. It's probably like major confidentiality problems. Well, there's there's all sorts of good stuff here, right? Okay, really, I know what I'm doing. We'll just go on to now. I got to go back to the next. Yeah, thank you very much. All right, there, how's that? That's a pretty good picture for confidence. That's what they're looking for, right? Someone that is willing to, you know, face down the enemy, fearlessly face down the enemy. Now, the enemy may take very different forms for people, right? Really what I want to do is say to you that there are a number of ways for you to say things that communicate that people, right? You don't want to be saying, I guarantee you I'm going to win your case. But do you or do you not believe this as a lawyer? Right? I can't guarantee you that I'm going to win, but I guarantee you that if there's a way to win, I will find that. I will find it. I know that. I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe that the only way to approach a case is to look for every possible way to win. I know that, and I know that when I say that to the client in the first meeting, that there is a better than 95% chance that the case is going to deal, right? That they are going to plead to something. That we're not going to be in trial. That I'm probably not even going to be preparing for trial. It doesn't matter. They don't get that. They don't understand that. And I submit to you that the very first time to be talking to them about that is not in that first meeting. And I can't tell you the number of lawyers that come to see me
having told me that they've been shopping, that they're talking to other lawyers, and having heard from the other lawyers about how shitty their case is. Because I know what those lawyers are doing. They're trying to manage those expectations, right? The very first thing they hear is unreasonable expectation, and it's my job as a lawyer to manage it. Yes, it is your job as a lawyer to manage it, but not now. And you can't manage it. You can't manage it unless you first have the confidence and the trust of the client. And the only way you're going to have the trust and confidence of the client is if you are willing to listen and if you are willing to talk to them about how it is that you are going to take it on for them. They're not looking for somebody who's going to take it on part way. They're looking for somebody who's going to take it on all the way. Now, one of the things, of course, that's a problem for us as lawyers is some of us are way too good at doing that, right? We take on way too much for our clients, right? And we stay up at night and we lose sleep and we drive our wives and our girlfriends and our husbands, right? Our partners, our children, our animals crazy because we take on so much from our clients. All right, that's probably a different lecture and probably needs to come from a psychologist. But the bottom line is that that is who you need to be when you're first talking to people about, am I going to be the one to do your case? Am I the one to whom you should pay this money? Or is it going to be somebody else? Okay? Now, if you, there certainly are these cases. And there are clients, by the way, who come in saying, oh my God, I don't want to take the case to trial. The last thing I can ever do is take the case to trial. The publicity's going to kill me. It's going to be too expensive. It's, you know, my family could never deal with that. I think you need to be saying to those people, I defend cases on two tracks at the same time. We got to be looking for every way that we possibly can to win it, which means never getting to a sentencing hearing. And we have to be talking about what are we going to do if we do get to a sentencing hearing, right? Because there are these clients that you've got to be the one to get them into treatment. You've got to be the one to get them to a psychologist. You've got to be the one to get them inpatient. You've got to be the one to get them on an antidepressant, anti-bipolar medication. And you have to be saying to them, that's part of my job as a lawyer. Again, I think when people hear about it in terms of what you are willing to take on to help them, to help minimize the problem, you're much further down the road of being able to land them as a client and to be able to land that fee. They want somebody that knows the law. You need to look for ways to be able to give them an answer about the law. They want somebody that knows the players. You want to be looking for ways not to say, I play golf with the judge, right? Because that's what they think. There are plenty of people that think that that's what helps win, right? How many of you have judges that you in fact play golf with, drink with, are really good friends with, and who will fuck your client every time that you get in front of, right? How many of those judges are ex-public defenders? Right, no, we're not going to go there. It's just a weird thing. I don't get that. It bothers me to this day every time I go into certain courts. But people need to know that you know the players, right? So being able to talk about that, being able to express confidence about, and in a day and age when you're often dealing with a deputy district attorney who is, 23 years old, 26, that can be hard. It's not necessarily going to be somebody that I know, but here's what I know about that office. Here's what I know about who that person is likely to be. I can talk to a client about that. I suppose I should probably get to some of this stuff in my last 5 minutes about, the ethics. That's not who we want to be, right? And we have to understand that that's who we are seen as at some level, but there are better ways of explaining that, right? Look, be upfront, be honest. I listen to lawyers all the time try and explain to people, it's not that expensive, and I know that there are lawyers out there that are doing the whole, he told you it's going to be $10,000, I'll do it for $5,000. No, you can find somebody else that'll do it for $2,500. Look, It's expensive. If you want to do this well, it's expensive, okay? Don't be afraid of that word. There are lots of lawyers that do this kind of work well, but only a handful that do it, but only a handful that do it well. These are just lines that I want to give you that, you know, because I've learned that good lawyering is all about theft, right? So you want to steal these things. Some things about flat fees. Make sure that the money is starting in the trust account regardless of what you do. You are putting into writing, doing written fee agreements, and remember who it is that you're writing for. This is the most important thing that I can tell you about this. You are not writing your fee agreement primarily for the client. You are not writing your fee agreement at all, I will tell you, ever, for a court or a jury in the lawsuit over that fee, okay? You're just not. Because if you've gotten there, you are so lost and so done that you might not as well start. You're writing it for whoever the grievance committee is, the ethics, the Supreme Court, that's who you're writing it for. Because that's the only place that this is ever gonna go that it matters to you if you have any brains. You know, I will say to you from experience, never ever sue a client ever, period, or send them to collection, period. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Am I being clear enough? Okay? It's just not. So you're doing this because ethically you're required to, because you're writing it for that ethics body in case you get into ethical trouble. But the way you're going to solve any ethical problem with a fee that you have with a client is what? Giving them the money back. It is the first and most important rule. There are certain lawyers, some of whom are sitting in this very room, who have been known to teach, take all of the money and give none of it back, right? And that was one of the things that Posner taught me. It's also, fortunately, I saw him do the opposite, right? And you look up at somebody and you say, it is not worth it. Here's the money back. Here's some of the money back. That's a whole lot easier to do if you're doing what the ethics rules tell us to, which is to put it into a trust account, take it out as you reach mileposts in the case. One of those mileposts, you know, here's a good example. But you can do whatever the hell you want. The ethics rules are flexible. You can make up whatever mileposts you want. You can look at a case and say, you know, it's at a stage where it's, you know, the person's already been through a bunch of lawyers. I'm getting in to do a very specific thing. Manage this prosecutor. I'm going to try and get this deal. I can heavily weight the fee at the front end. I can say 50% of it is when I start and when I start negotiating with the prosecutor, right? It's not every case. You can manage these things so that you can make more sense of it and manage your life and your money better. That's it. That's all I got.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay, read the Weed Blog today.
Good day, everybody. Radical Russ here in Aspen, Colorado at the remodeled Gantt Convention Center, Auditorium, whatever it might be. We're up on the second floor now, which has been designated the smoking area, and I happen upon all sorts of really cool people. My good friend Matt is here, Matt Kuman from California. How you doing?
All right, Russ. How are you?
How does it feel being in the free state of Colorado?
It's always great, but we're using the inspiration from Colorado to make big changes in California in 2016.
Yeah, we're here at the Normal Legal Seminar. What are you looking forward to as far as picking up some legal information?
Oh, you know, you come to these events as an attorney, you walk away with all sorts of great tips. I mean, you know, Brenda...
Grantland.
Yeah, Brenda Grantland just made sure that everyone understood that when you got a DEA forfeiture claim, you got to file the claim. You know, you got to file the claim so you can get a court right to go to court. That's really important for people to know.
Yeah, we learned all sorts of things about asset forfeiture, that there doesn't need to even be any drugs involved. They can just think you might have had drugs involved. How much currency all has marijuana and drug residue on it. Do you get a lot of those kind of cases?
Well, I got one right now that I'm working on with David Michael. We had our client was stopped in outside of Reno. He had $140,000 seized from his car, no drugs in the car. And no arrest, just taken.
And so they just assumed, since you have so much cash in the car, you're a bad guy.
That's correct. And he was traveling with that amount of cash, and he hid it under the trunk in the hood because he was concerned about, you know, people stealing his money. So he hid it. And, of course, from their perspective, well, if you hide it, that means you're a criminal.
Because if it was out in the open, they'd also take it.
You know, it's a no-win situation. Yeah. But we hit them hard. You know, these normal attorneys, we're just fighters. We just hit them. We just come at the government. We never give up. We're relentless. We're like mad dogs. We bite. We hold on. We don't let go until they cry uncle.
All right, Matt Kuman, thanks so much. And if people want to hit you up, you're in the Bay Area, California. You got a website or anything?
Sure, Matt at www.mattkumanlaw, MattKumanlaw.com. And call my office, 415-655-7494.
Right on. All right, let's go see anyone else we can go talk to here at this Normal Legal Seminar. This is the first break of the first day. It's a Thursday. And we'll get some snapshot pictures here.
Is anyone allergic to photos? All right.
Yeah, we're all in love with you.
Make sure to get my good side.
Excuse me for interrupting. I got Sean McAllister here. You just did a presentation on what's happening regulatory-wise here in Colorado. What's some of the crazy stuff happening in the free state here?
Well, the best thing happening is all the positive marijuana vibe and sales and good, you know, industry with $700 million in sales and 10,000 employees and 98% occupancy rates of warehouses in Denver and real estate values going through the roof and unemployment, some of the lowest in the nation. I mean, I could go on.
That's beautiful. That's great results. But you were talking in your presentation about attacking the caregivers, stuff about pesticides and testing. What's the status on any of that?
Well, you know, again, we're evolving, and I think caregivers are under attack because the industry sees it as a source of black market. The state sees it as a source of that. I think they ought to have, you know, license, at least have some type of in-home occupation, like you can homebrew or do home crafting that you can sell on a small market. You ought to have the right to do that to a certain extent, and then if you get too big, you should have to have a license. So I think it's a dialogue of, you know, how big is too big to do it in your house, and ultimately some of the limits that have been set so far I think are totally illegal and they need to rethink them. But again, it's part of that dialogue and that evolution. So you know, caregivers in the long run, I think they should be able to care for as many people as they can, and they're just, as you know, going to be appropriate licensing all along the way. But right now the system is a little unregulated, so that's the concerns. But, you know, overall, it's an exciting time in marijuana.
You know, you mentioned Colorado refelonizing the home production of butane hash oil, other solvent hash oils. Oregon, my home state, we passed legalization. It had that in the law. We had it to felonize home production in the law. It seems to be the direction that a lot of these places are going. You mentioned a novel way to address this situation with, you know, setting up companies to do this for people. Can you explain that idea?
Yeah, I mean, right now, what are the options people have. They can do it in their basement with a kit they put together themselves, and some people are very capable of doing that, and I think in the long run they ought to be able to do that and be licensed potentially locally, again, on a small scale level without the kind of heavy regulation the state people face. But no, I mean, the option they have is to do it in their home or to go to a dispensary and get it at $60 to $80 a gram. And they ought to be able to go anywhere to a business and have their hash or their trim or bud process into hash. And, you know, that would really solve the problem. And I think we will get those kind of licenses at some point because it makes a lot of sense. It'll get the home butane hash production out of the basement. And that has been dangerous for some people. I have clients who have blown themselves up, and it's dangerous. And, you know, that's why I said I think if a local zoning board wanted to review somebody's ability to do that in their house, they ought to be able to have that on a small scale. But it probably does need to be inspected for safety and, you know, separation from kids. And, again, it's one of these issues that's an evolution. It's why I said this morning, if marijuana could talk, it would say, why do I need all these lawyers? Because
things
are so complicated.
But, Sean, you mentioned your law firm is taking off, and I'm sure people listening to this, if they're in the Colorado, you know, Denver area, they might want to get in touch with you. How can they get in touch with you online?
Sure, yeah. McAllisterLawOffice.com, McAllister, McAllisterLawOffice.com. Also, just obtained the rights to CannabisIndustryAttorney.com, so I'm going to be probably separating off some of my criminal defense and dispensary work, but, you know, I'm working primarily in Denver, but I have clients that are in New York and going to Jamaica, very exciting thing, some of the international opportunities, and edible companies that are going all over the U.S., and just being at the birth of this industry is so exciting to see, you know, billion-dollar brands being made and, you know, dealing with issues like pesticide and these other things, getting quality product on the shelf for consumers. I cannot believe how fortunate we are to be alive in this time.
I know, and I think we're all fortunate in the rest of the states, too, that Colorado's doing such a great job at this and kind of poking holes in all the scaremongering about what would happen if we legalize. So thank you guys so much for doing that.
Thanks, Russ. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Have yourselves a great time. Can I get a picture of you guys? Is that cool? And real quick, if I get a steak.
Anything you want with a puff off that.
Right? We're here with Lauren Mayton. She's, yes, that's the price of the joint. You are moderating today, and what do we have to look forward to after this break? What's coming up?
Okay, after this break is Paul Armentano. Paul is phenomenal. He talks about pharmacology of marijuana and is just such an amazing asset to Normal and to the world of marijuana. He's going to talk about the federal case that just happened and his role in that. He's going to talk about the pharmacology. Stay tuned for Paul. After Paul, we have Stephen Farber. Stephen Farber is from New Mexico. He's awesome, civil and criminal attorney, talking about merging those practices. Really great afternoon ahead.
All right. Well, thanks for inviting us up here to Aspen, Colorado, and for being our moderator for today's events. We appreciate it. It's always a good time here at the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar. We're going to take a much-deserved break here, get off the microphone for a second, and continue with the festivities on the second floor.
Awesome.
I'm Radical Russ. We'll be back right after this.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Three mothers and their children on a remarkable journey. Each child is desperately ill. Each has a form of epilepsy. Quite often, epilepsy drugs don't work. Sometimes they do more harm than good.
Each child's a guinea pig.
No one knew how to treat it.
We were given drugs that caused her seizures. What am I going to do?
Desperate for anything that might be able to help her daughter, Lisa found a mom in Colorado who said that marijuana worked wonders.
She was on 7 daily seizure drugs at 2 years old. The hospital said there's nothing left. You should just go home.
But Paige didn't give up.
We were in a legal state.
For medical marijuana.
For medical marijuana. I just started looking into it.
This is a side of the cannabis business few people ever see. No tie-dye, no Bob Marley posters,
just plants and science.
When you look at this plant, what do you see?
I see beauty, I see wonderment, I see incredible opportunity.
Cannabidiol, a non-psychoactive element in marijuana, seemed to be effective in reducing seizures.
She's catatonic in a wheelchair, on oxygen, on a feeding tube, and I put it in her feeding tube, very low dose to start, and she didn't have a seizure for 7 days. Nothing had ever done this.
Time out. She's having 300 seizures a week. You think she's going to die, and you introduce this for the very first time, and it just stops.
Yep.
Dr. Brooks Kyle maintains more clinical studies need to be done.
There's no question that there is potential there for an effective treatment, but we don't know that yet.
Reading Paige and Charlotte's story online gave Lisa Smith, back in Virginia, new hope. Pot, though, wasn't and still isn't legal in Virginia.
So what did you do?
We chose to fight.
Together, these families decided to do something audacious. Convinced the state legislature to make legal room for a very specific medical marijuana.
If she was your child, what would you do?
Is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.